secured. I don't know if we want to open any of those windows on the outside. It's up to you folks. If there's any need for that. It might be, you get a little air until the electricity goes. Let's turn to 275, our hymn book. Our God is light, and though we go across a trackless wild, our Jesus' footsteps ever show the path for every child. 275. John. start with 2 John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. 3 John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity or love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on a journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And let's turn back to 1 John chapter 1 for a verse. 1 John 1 verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And again in chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And I read those three verses in 1 John so that we could see how that it begins with the wonderful truth that God is light, God is holy, God is righteous, God is absolute purity. He's a pure eyes and to behold evil, he cannot look on iniquity. God is light, nothing so pure as light. It brings before us those attributes of his being that sets forth his holiness, his righteousness, his truth. But God is love as well. And that sets before us the wonderful attributes of his grace, mercy, kindness, compassion, forgiveness. God is love. Over 2 John, we could write the words, God is light. And over 3 John, we could write the words that God is love. Now we'll see why that's so as we go into the two epistles. There's a lot of similarities between these two epistles, and then some of the similarities are really contrasts. Both of them are written from the elder. First one of 2 John, the elder, unto the elect lady and her children. 3 John, the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius. Both epistles speak of the truth over and over and over again. Let's notice it. In 2 John, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Verse 3, the end of the verse, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. So we have the truth emphasized in 2 John, and so in 3 John. Verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 3, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And verse 12, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. And verse 8, I missed that. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. 2 John is negative. 3 John is positive. 2 John is a solemn warning to an elect lady and her children to be on guard against those that come to her house purporting to be the servants of Christ, and they fail in the critical, fundamental, basic test of the truth as to the person of Christ. And so she is warned. The key verse in 2 John is found in verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine concerning who he is, the truth of his person, the instruction to her is receive him not. Receive him not. So 2 John is instruction to this elect lady and her children whom not to receive, whom she should reject. And the key verse in 3 John is verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. 3 John is commendation to Gaius, who was extending hospitality and receiving into his home those that went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles for the name of Christ, to serve him in the truth. And so to receive such would be to be a fellow helper with the truth. And that's 3 John. But both are emphasizing the truth. And we can't really be walking in the truth if we fail in either one of these two areas. The danger in 2 John is to commend and to have fellowship with those that come according to be servants of Christ that don't bring the truth, we ought to reject them. The danger in 3 John is to refuse those that ought to be received, those who are friends, those who are walking in the truth. And Diotrephes, mentioned in 3 John, is one who didn't receive, whereas in that epistle, the commendation is to Gaius, who did receive. So 3 John is saying, receive them. 2 John is saying, receive them not. And it's striking that these two epistles are both addressed to individuals. The second epistle is addressed to an elect lady, a sister, and her children. Those that in the area of responsibility are have the least responsibility, you might say, as to assembly functions. And Gaius is commended, 3 John, for his showing hospitality to those that were really friends. 3 John ends with, greet the friends by me. The friends salute thee. So 3 John is dealing with friends. And 2 John is dealing with enemies. Verse 7. For many, 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So when one comes that's of that character, though they purport to be servants of Christ and ministers of the gospel, if they don't bring the doctrine of Christ, they're to be refused. Now, you might think that 2 John would have been addressed to the brother. Much easier for a brother, you know, the man has a nature that is more austere and stern and firm, and the sister has a nature which is more outgoing and loving and ready to show hospitality. But it's 3 John addressed to the brother that he's commended for showing hospitality, and the epistle addressed to the sister is instructing her that if anyone comes to your house and doesn't bring the doctrine of Christ, receive him not. So when her husband comes home at night, she cannot say to him, I had a visitor today, some visitors, and I let them in the house, and we had some fellowship, and I served them some coffee and donuts and so on. And then when he finally learned what they were bringing her, he would say, you ought not to have received them. You're not bringing the truth. But I'm just a lowly sister, and that would have been your responsibility to turn them away, but I couldn't do that. No, the sister can't plead that, because 2 John is addressed to her. So what is that telling us? I believe it's telling us that even she and her children even are responsible to remain true to Christ and to refuse what is false and spurious. That second verse of 2 John, it says, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, reminds us, and on this you don't have to turn to it, but in John 14, if you want to turn to it, you may, in John 14, of the Spirit of God, it uses very, very similar words. John 14, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And verse 16 says, this other comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. And so, back to 2 John now, the second verse, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. The Spirit of God is called the truth. In 1 John 5, let's turn back to 1 John chapter 5, where we'll read that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth, or the truth. Spirit is the truth. And the Lord, we know the verse so well, I don't have to turn to it, but we can quote it in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life. The Lord is the truth. He is the truth objectively, and the Spirit is the truth subjectively. The Spirit within us, who dwells with us forever, dwells in us. He makes the truth good to our souls, the truth of Christ, who is outside of us and in the glory. And then we have that other verse in John 17, the Lord praying to the Father. He says, thy word is truth. This book, the word is truth. So we have the Lord Jesus being spoken of as the truth, and the Spirit spoken of as the truth, and the Word contains the truth. It is the truth. So this truth will be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, 2 John 3, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly when I found of thy children, the of there suggests that not all of her children were going on in the truth, but he rejoiced that he found of her children, some of her children, that were going on in the truth, as we have walking in the truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And the way this love is shown amongst God's people, especially in the setting of 2 John, see, the danger of 2 John, in 2 John, is for this sister to show love to this one that comes to her house and doesn't bring the doctrine of Christ, when the word says, refuse them, reject them, do not receive them. And so the next verse helps us to explain how that's really the way of love. Verse 6 says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So the best way, the true way, the sure way of showing love to one that comes as a Christian teacher and doesn't bring the doctrine of Christ is not to welcome them in and be hospitable to them, but to not receive them. And that's love. Sometimes we don't think of that as love. You see, there's a pseudo-love that is spoken a lot about in Christian circles today, and that is to forget the truth and just love your brethren. But that's not love in the truth, is it? That's not the love that John speaks of. Love in the truth. And if we show love at the expense of truth, that's not divine love, and it's not God's way. Never has been, never will be. And then he warns this dear sister. He tells her in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not. Now I'm going to change this a little, because the point of the verse is not quite the way it reads in our King James. It's not, confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. It's not the denial that he came, but it's really the confession of the person who came. I read it that way. Who confess not Jesus Christ coming in flesh. Now all of us, it would be foolish for anyone to speak of any of us as coming in the flesh, because that's the only way we can come. Because we're just men and women. The only way that we can enter into the world is in the flesh. But here was a person who was being confessed, who existed before he came in the flesh, and he's being confessed as having come in the flesh. So it involves his deity, his godhead, and his manhood. That's really the confession that is being denied by this one that comes to this Christian lady, this elect lady and her children. He doesn't confess the truth of the Lord's person, that he is God and man in one person. God come in flesh, he who came in flesh. And to deny that is to disqualify one to be fellowshipped by this elect lady and her children. And then John says, look to yourselves. Well, he says at the end of verse 7, I should have missed that. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, and we're not to fellowship deceivers and antichrists. We're to reject them. Look to yourselves, he says to this dear sister, not that we lose not those things which we have wrought. She was evidently the fruit of his labors, and her children too. So he says, if she did not remain faithful in this regard, if there's one thing that God does not allow any unfaithfulness on our part with regards to, it's being true to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not true to him. You can fellowship those that are his enemies, that are deceivers and antichrists, then that's a strong indication that there is something vitally wrong in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because if we are to be true to any, it is to him who has given his all for us. So John says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. They were his fruit in the Lord, this elect lady and her children. And should they not go on well, then he would lose his reward. But that we receive a full reward. How important it is for the saints of God to go on well. And if they don't, it reflects upon the one who led them to the Lord. Just as if our children don't go on well, it reflects upon us as parents. Then verse 9 is a very important verse. Whosoever transgresseth, Mr. Darby renders that, whosoever goes forward. It's the thought of development, going beyond what God has been pleased to reveal to us as the truth. And the truth is centered in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And to go beyond that, I remember once passing out tracks on an elevated platform in Chicago. It's where the trains change from the subway to the elevated. And there was a theological seminary right there. And I got engaged in a conversation in the car with a man who was evidently a professor in that school. Used to be fairly sound, but it had turned very much modernistic at the time. And he asked me what I believed, and I confessed to him my belief in the deity of Christ and in his virgin birth and in his bodily resurrection, in the infallibility and inerrancy of Scripture, and so on. The fundamentals of the faith. And he smiled at me and said, that's nice, but now you have to go on to the deeper things. And that's what John is talking about here in verse 9. Whosoever goes forward, literally, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. This man thought there was something beyond Christ, something that was deeper and fuller and richer than he, but in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. There is nothing beyond Christ but deadly error. And so to go beyond him, to go forward, to develop into deeper truth, as he would say, is to go from truth to error. And this is where he was. I don't believe he was really the Lord's. And so I encountered one just like this. Whosoever goes forward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. For one to do that is a proof that he never knew God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So to remain true to him who is the truth is to remain in the truth ourselves. And then he says to this elect lady, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, or that simply means to greet him. Don't give him the common greeting, just close the door. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now both of these epistles end with John saying, having many things to write unto you, I would not with paper and ink, but I trust to see you shortly, and so on, that would speak face to face. And that's said in the third epistle too. And then he speaks of the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. So there was this elect sister, elect lady and her children. and then her elect sister as well. So they are very responsible to maintain the glory of Christ. Now just a few words on 3 John, and then we'll close. 3 John is written to a brother, the well-beloved Gaius. There's a word that's used 4 times in 3 John that's not used once in 2 John, because the tone of 2 John is very, very severe, austere. He's dealing with enemies, he's dealing with those who are deceivers and antichrists, and he's enjoining upon this elect lady and her children to be faithful and to refuse them. But John, the whole flavor of the atmosphere of 3 John is entirely different. He's commending Gaius, his beloved brother, for his showing hospitality and taking in the brethren that came and housing them and feeding them and giving them a lodging and then sending them on their journey rejoicing. And he commends all this. Notice verse 1, the well-beloved Gaius. He's marking out those that are truly friends, because the epistle ends with the Greek of friends by name. So 3 John is dealing with friends, and 2 John is dealing with enemies. And our attitude towards them, if we're going to be in the truth, our attitude towards them ought to be consistent with faithfulness to Christ. God is light, 2 John. God is love, 3 John. That is the going out of the divine affections to those who are in the truth and going on in the truth. To refuse to do that, the danger of 3 John is sectarianism, of just showing fellowship with just the few that we know. And there may be others that we haven't met before. In fact, Gaius is commended for taking these brethren that were strangers to him before and receiving them, because he discerned that they were in the truth. And so he didn't refuse them. We should refuse those who are untrue to Christ. We should be in fellowship with those that are true to him and seeking to please him. He says, verse 2 of 3 John, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He recognized that Gaius' soul was prospering, and evidently he wasn't in very good health. So he desired that Gaius might experience better health in his body, even as he did in his soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Wonderful to have that testimony of one by brethren, and to be walking in the truth oneself. And then John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Evidently, Gaius was one of his children, as the elect lady and her children were as well, and he rejoiced in that. John rejoiced in that. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, and that strange, to strangers. These brethren were strangers to him. They hadn't seen him before, and he hadn't seen them, and yet he took them in and showed fellowship with them, which have borne witness of thy charity, thy love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. The danger in 2 John is to receive those who are false. The danger in 3 John is to reject those who are true. And so we don't want to be loose and flaunt a spurious kind of love which throws your arms around everyone, even though they're enemies of Christ. That's wrong. Nor do we want to be sectarian and refuse those that don't just fit in with our way of thinking, but who are really the Lord's and are walking in the truth. So there's a safeguard in these two epistles. You really have to take them together in order to understand them. For his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. That's almost forgotten nowadays in Christian circles, where you have Christian men pleading with the world to support them in the work of the Lord, instead of looking to the saints of God to do it. saints of God should feel that solemn responsibility to support those that go forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. And this is the way they went forth in those early days, for his name's sake. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now there was a man there that was totally out of tune with the mind of God. I believe he was an evil man. His name is Diotrephes. I wrote unto the church, but John says, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, receiveth among them, receiveth us not. Now I don't know how he did not receive John, the apostle. It could be that he refused his epistle. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes receiveth us not. Somehow, maybe he did not receive the epistle that John wrote, or discredited it. I don't know as though John had ever been there before. He might have. It rather reads as though he hadn't been. But it does say of Diotrephes, he receiveth us not. Gaius is commended for receiving, and Diotrephes is condemned for not receiving. He did more than that. John says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, prating against the Apostle John. Think of it. With malicious words, not receiving John, and then speaking against him with malicious words. And then he says, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Hard to imagine that one man could have this kind of power in an assembly. A man who was so evil in what he was doing. And then he says, beloved, again, writing to Gaius, beloved, he was one of the beloved. Why wasn't Gaius cast out? Probably because he wasn't a threat to Diotrephes. Diotrephes would get rid of anyone that was a threat to him. He loved to have the first place, the preeminence. He wanted to be the leader there, and he didn't want any rivalry in his doing that. And so whenever there was anyone that would challenge his position and be a rival to him, he threw him out of the church. Evidently, Gaius didn't have that kind of disposition. It seems as though Gaius was a very quiet, loving, hospitable man that received the brethren, but he didn't pose any threat to Diotrephes, so he was not, evidently, was not cast out. It's a little difficult to get the picture exactly how it was in this place. But he says in verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil. That's what Diotrephes was doing. But that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, like Gaius. But he that doeth evil hath not seen God, like Diotrephes. And then he commends in verse 12, Demetrius. Evidently this was a letter of commendation to Demetrius, for Demetrius. Evidently, Demetrius brought it to Gaius when he went there. Notice what he says of Demetrius. Demetrius hath good report of all men. Number one, all men, good report. Wonderful. And of the truth itself. Demetrius had a good report of the truth itself. And three, and yea, and we also bear record, he says, John. So John adds his commendation to this. And you know that our record is true. And now again he says, like he did in the second epistle, I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. I think it ought to read, the friends salute thee, greet the friends by name. So here's an epistle that deals with friends. There was one there that was totally out of communion with the Lord, probably not the Lord's at all, and that was Diotrephes. But Demetrius was commended and approved. So we have some beautiful principles in these two epistles. Second John, God is light. And third John, God is love. whom not to receive in 2 John, whom to receive in 3 John. 2 John is written to the elect lady and her children, not on the level of nature, but on a spiritual level, giving the sister and her children the responsibility of remaining true to Christ no matter who came to her door. And 3 John commending him, the brother that would not have the nature so much of hospitality, but he's extending it here, and he's commended for this activity of the divine nature going out to those who are true to the Lord Jesus. May we be faithful in rejecting all that is opposed to him, and also in receiving all those who are truly his friends. We're just about out of light. Number 21 in the appendix. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus the Lord. Well might his name by his saints be adored. He has redeemed them from hell by his blood, saved them forever, brought them to God. Number 21. Oh, what a Savior.